Everyone, thank you for tuning in to the Postmodern Realities podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. It's July 2018, and you're listening to episode 79 of Postmodern Realities, and I'm Melanie Cogdill, managing editor of the Christian Research Journal. On this episode, I'm joined by Dr. John McAteer. John is an assistant professor and chair of the online liberal arts program at Ashford University. He has a BA in film from Biola University, a MA in philosophy of religion and ethics from Talbot School of Theology, and a PhD in philosophy from the University of California at Riverside. In the 2018 Volume 41, Number 3 issue of the Christian Research Journal, John has written a feature article about the theology of actor Morgan Freeman, and his article is called The Story of Morgan Freeman, Not God. Hi, everyone. Future Melanie here. I just wanted to take note that when we recorded this podcast, that was before the news story broke that several women had accused the actor Morgan Freeman of inappropriate behavior and harassment. Now, we don't know what the outcome and effect will be of these accusations on the future of his National Geographic television series, The Story of God, which will go into its third season in 2019. In the meantime, we had decided to cover the theology of Morgan Freeman back last year in 2017. We thought it would be a good subject for an article as well as a podcast because he has had great cultural influence. And now that he has this TV series, his theological beliefs are also impacting cultural awareness. And so we had decided to cover that. And we don't know if his series will survive or not regarding the impact of these allegations. But we just wanted to take note that this information came out after we recorded this podcast. So now back to the podcast. John, it's good to have you on.
Great to be here.
Well, back in 2003, a while back, Morgan Freeman appeared as God in the hit film Bruce Almighty, and I think it also had a sequel, Evan Almighty, and he's quite old now. He's over 80, and he's an Oscar winner, and of course, he has that very distinctive voice in the Visa commercials, but he's also the executive producer of National Geographic, the television series, The Story of God, and the first series originally aired as a six-part series, and he's exploring various cultures and religions and their take on religion, different topics, the nature of evil and things like that, and particularly exploring belief in God or a higher power. And the second season aired in 2017, and actually it's been renewed for a third season, which is set to air next year in 2019. So Morgan Freeman obviously is an actor, as I said, not a journalist. So why do you think he wanted to make this documentary series showing what people think about God?
Well, that's a good question. I think it's possible that the TV channel National Geographic just asked him to do it because a lot of people associate him with the person of God, you know, being from the movie Bruce Almighty, just kind of a meme or a joke or something nowadays to think, you know, what does God look like? He must look like Morgan Freeman because of that movie. But I think for Freeman, it might be a little more personal. So he's not, as you said, he's not just the actor here. He's the executive producer and creator of the show, which he created with his production company and his producing partner, Laurie McCreary. And, you know, a lot of actors have producers who work with them, who are, you know, just kind of work on all their movies and try to create new movies for them, you know, go out and find them work that they would be interested in. And I think, you know, Laurie McCreary is that sort of person for Morgan Freeman, but she herself is a professed Christian. Freeman, I don't believe is, but Laurie McCreary is, and so she could be perhaps influencing him a little bit and saying we need to do some more things with religion because that's what she's all about. But then I think it's also Freeman's own interests. If you look back at the first TV show he produced, it was a science show for the Discovery Channel and was called Through the Wormhole. And it was about just kind of like Nova or some of those PBS series that you may have seen, or just kind of recent scientific discoveries. And Morgan Freeman would just kind of explain these scientific discoveries and interview scientists and things like that. But that show, even though it was all about science, actually incorporated a lot of religion in there. He did episodes on mystical experiences and on the afterlife and near-death experiences and even just the existence of God and why we believe in God and things like that, and looking at the brain science of those things. So he seems to have a deep personal interest in spirituality, at least, if not religion, and how that relates to science. So I think that's one of the things that draws him to this material.
Well, you mentioned that his producing partner, who's an executive producer, is a Christian. And I was just wondering, you know, it's been renewed for a third season, and I'd say a lot of people would agree that in America we live in a post-Christian culture. Why do you think this series, they wouldn't renew a series if there wasn't interest. Why do you think this series or this topic resonates with people that they would even be interested, so it would go into three seasons?
Yeah, that's a great question too. I mean, definitely people watched it. It was the highest rated show on National Geographic Channel ever. Partly, I assume, because of Morgan Freeman. You know, he's a big star that can get people to watch his shows and movies. But it does tap into an idea, you know, just this interest in religion that a lot of us have. These kind of shows go, you know, every few years is a new one of these shows. You go look on the History Channel or any of these channels, there's tons of these shows that take a kind of pseudo-scientific approach to religion and try to explain religious beliefs. So it's just something that a lot of us are interested in, maybe because even, you know, those of us who are really deeply engaged in our own religious tradition don't know a lot about other people's religious traditions. So it can be interesting to learn about people who disagree with us.
So you just said a few minutes ago that Morgan Freeman, you don't think that he claims to be a Christian. So does he have any kind of agenda with this television series? I mean, what is he thinking the purpose of it is, or what does he want to accomplish by delving into various religious traditions and what people believe?
Yeah, and I'll actually, I want to answer that question, but I do want to also say, I should say more clearly that Morgan Freeman is not a Christian and says in interviews, I've seen him say multiple times that he is not, that he does not believe in any kind of traditional religion. And if you ask him about whether he believes in God, I've seen him say more than once that he thinks human beings invented God as a concept, that it's God only exists in our minds. But then somehow he moves from that premise to the conclusion that we are all God because God exists in our minds. And he says things like that. Of course, I believe in God. I'm God. And then you ask him, what do you mean by that? And he's like, well, human beings invented God. So it's a very strange belief, sort of maybe New Agey in some ways. But as far as this show, I don't think he's trying to convert people to his New Age beliefs necessarily. I think he has a little bit more of a altruistic motive from what he said in interviews again and things like that. And just watching the show, it's clear that his agenda, if you want to call it that, his motivation is really just tolerance. He wants us all to people of different religions, or even, you know, religious people and non-religious people, to all understand where each other is coming from, to get a little bit more information about differing religious viewpoints. Not necessarily so that he can convert anybody to one or the other religion, but just so that you know, we can know the people we live with in our society and get along a little bit better.
You know, in one of the episodes in the first series where he explores who God is, he actually does say what you're talking about. He says that, you know, there's God in you and there's God in me. And The God in me is the best version of me, and the God in me is who I strive to be. So definitely that would not jive with a, you know, historical, biblical view of who God is. So
exactly.
It does, it is coming through. I mean, his worldview is definitely coming through. Do you think that the series is factually accurate in its portrayal of religion and specifically, obviously, Christianity?
I think so. I think it's pretty good. I mean, essentially, this show is a comparative religion class, like you would take in a college. So if you've ever taken a comparative religious class or read a comparative religion textbook or things like that, that's the kind of approach that he's taking. So it takes a sort of secular anthropological viewpoint, the way that a secular scientist would study religious cultures. And so it's trying to be very objective, by which I mean impartial, right? It's not trying to take sides in these different religious debates. As anthropology or science, it's trying to just describe neutrally what different people believe in and how they behave without judging whether or not one or the other viewpoint is true or false. So in that sense, I do think he does, the show is good. It's giving an accurate representation, probably because of Morgan Freeman's past show that was a science-based show. He's really good, him and his writers are really good at finding qualified experts who actually know what they're talking about, and then summarizing their complex academic theories into ordinary language that regular viewers can understand. So he knows how to do that from his work on science, and I think he does a pretty good job with that in when he transfers it to the area of religion, kind of taking a scientific approach to religion. So he's accurate as far as I can tell. You know, every time somebody came on and said, you know, this is what Christians believe about X, Y, and Z, I thought, yeah, that's right as far as it goes. He's not necessarily giving the full picture the way that you or I would if we were describing what we thought was most important about Christianity, but he doesn't say anything that's that I recognized as false, at least in those objective parts where he's summarizing people's beliefs. It's later when he comes in, usually at the end of the episode, and gives his own, Morgan Freeman gives his own personal take on these ideas and what he personally believes. And that's when he gets a little bit kooky, like in that quote that you quoted earlier, where he said, you know, he's God.
You're listening to the Postmodern Realities Podcast from the Christian Research Institute and the Christian Research Journal. In the 2018 Volume 41, Number 3 issue of the Christian Research Journal, our guest John McAteer has written a feature article about the theology of actor Morgan Freeman, and it's called The Story of Morgan Freeman, Not God. To read this article and to read more cultural apologetics articles like John's upcoming feature on the HBO series Westworld, please subscribe to the journal. A 6-issue subscription is now at new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe online, visit equip.org. You know, if you already have a subscription, you can consider a gift subscription for your pastor or a friend or a family member, or if all of them have subscriptions, please share this podcast on your social media accounts so to let others know how they can subscribe to the journal. Well, you describe in your article Morgan Freeman as taking a naturalistic approach to exploring religion. What does that mean?
Yeah, so philosophical naturalism is a worldview or a philosophical viewpoint that says all that exists is the natural world. So that's why it's naturalism. So the opposite of naturalism would be supernaturalism. So a naturalist is denying that there is anything supernatural. They deny that there's anything non-physical, non-material, like a soul or God or afterlife or those kind of things. So naturalism is often linked to a similar idea called scientism. Scientism is the belief that science is the only form of knowledge. So if you know something, you have to be able to give scientific evidence for it and proof for it in the ways that scientists would recognize and agree to. So there can't be any knowledge outside of science, which would, of course, include areas like philosophy and theology and even, literature and the humanities type things. So when I say that Freeman is taking a naturalistic point of view, it's that point of view I described earlier about kind of the secular anthropology. So he's trying to study human behavior, religious behavior, in a way without without assuming that any of these religious beliefs are true. Or in fact, I would go stronger and say he's assuming that these religious beliefs are false. That's where his naturalism comes through. So, for example, he might look at this. He says things like, all cultures believe in God. This is a standard thing. Every culture has some sort of higher power or divinity that they believe in. And then he asks himself, well, why is this? As a naturalist, he can't even entertain the idea that maybe people believe in God because there is a God and that God is revealing himself to people. He doesn't consider that possibility. He says, well, people believe in God, and there must be some sort of scientific explanation for this. There must be some sort of, evolutionary explanation. So he looks back into, evolutionary biology and saying, well, we have this basic drive to survive, and we develop these traits, both biological but also cultural, that help us survive, help us pass on our genes to the next generation, help us cope with the various challenges we face. And so different religions would be different kind of cultural responses to these universal human instincts. We all have the same sort of biology, but we get put into these different environments that cause our instincts to respond in different ways. And so on this kind of evolutionarily naturalistic viewpoint, that would explain why we have different religious beliefs in different parts of the world. And yet, because they all come from the same instincts, that would explain why there are some commonalities in different parts of the world, because they're all coming from the same place. So this is sort of cause and effect scientific thinking that a naturalist would come up with.
Right. So you're saying that he really does hold to scientific naturalism. And I know that there was an episode that dealt with evil. So how does he explain evil? Does he even think that it exists? And where would he say that it comes from?
So, I mean, he would say that evil exists in the sense that people do evil things. He doesn't believe in any sort of cosmic evil. I mean, certainly he wouldn't believe in the devil or Satan or anything like that, demons. I think in that, I'm trying to remember that particular episode. He does not actually address the questions that he sets out. So in that one, he might say, what is evil? But then when you get down to it, he's really just looking at people's beliefs in demonic possession and things like that. But he doesn't really ever address what is this really and where does it come from? For him, it's just a matter of people have various things going on in their brain chemistry and whatnot. So you can imagine a sort of scientific attempt to explain a phenomenon like that.
So basically he would look at various different religious traditions and their answer to evil, but not really address the question if evil truly exists and how is it dealt with.
Exactly. I mean, that's his approach throughout the whole thing. Again, an approach that comes from the comparative religion perspective is that as a journalist reporting on these different viewpoints, I as the journalist wouldn't want to prejudge which one is true or not. I'm just going to describe what people believe about things.
So does Morgan Freeman in his exploration of religion treat all religious traditions equally?
So that's a good question too. He sort of does and he sort of doesn't, just kind of depending on what you mean by treating all religions equally. So in the sense that he thinks all religions are naturalistic human phenomena that arise naturally due to, he would say, due to evolution, they're all the same in that sense. They can all be explained by the same underlying cause and effect in the natural world, in your brains and in the way society works and that sort of thing. But when he's looking at the content of religion, I think he does avoid the kind of superficial trap of saying, oh, all religions are equally good. It doesn't matter what you believe, you know, all paths lead to heaven, that kind of thing. I don't think he makes that mistake. He does, as I said, he is very fair to the different kinds of religions, and he's honest about when they genuinely disagree. So sometimes you might hear people saying all religions are the same, but then you start to challenge them about, well, what about, you know, this belief and that belief, and they contradict each other, and they can't all be the same and equal, etc. Freeman doesn't fall into that trap. He knows that there's differences between religions. And I think even more importantly, he is able to admit that some religions are better than other religions. So this is an important point that I think was very good in the show. He, for example, when he's talking about the afterlife in that episode, there's this whole discussion of the Aztecs and how they believed that if they had to create human sacrifices to call the gods to bring the sun back, so that the sun didn't get extinguished. So on the equinox day or whatever, you had to have human sacrifice. And he says, now we know that that's cruel, but you know, from their point of view, they didn't know any better, because they really thought that if they didn't do this, if they didn't have the sacrifice, then the sun would die off, and that would be really bad. So from their point of view, they're actually saving all of humanity by killing one person. But we, scientific people in the 21st century, know that that's false. And so we can look back and judge the Aztecs as being wrong. Not only that, in that context, when he's discussing human sacrifice, he actually brings up the Christian idea that says, because of Jesus's sacrifice, we no longer have to have any other kind of sacrifices, whether human or animal sacrifices. And he mentions that idea, which I thought was great. You know, he understands, you know, Christianity and the end of the sacrificial system. So the implied in all of that, and he comes pretty close to saying it explicitly, is that Christianity is a superior religion to the ancient Aztec religion. So he's able to recognize a kind of progress in religions, an evolution of the religions themselves, where kind of ancient religions are less sort of, they're less good, they're less true, perhaps. Or he wouldn't say less true, I would say less true, but he would say less less good, less kind, or something like that, than modern religions.
Since he does, you know, approach the study of religions and God from a naturalistic point of view, does he debunk the miraculous? Does he dismiss miracles?
No, not directly. So he does often he'll talk to people who have experienced something miraculous, a miraculous healing, a miraculous vision, or a voice from God, or something like this, you know, in the episodes about near-death experiences, in the episodes about healings and miracles. And those are those kind of episodes I described, where he is presenting it in a purely objective way, where he doesn't try to judge. He just says, this person says this happened to them, and this other person says this other thing happened to them. And so he tries to just kind of report it neutrally. So in that sense, he's not out to deny anyone's experience of being miraculously healed. He's not going to go and try to debunk it, as you say. On the other hand, he is looking for evolutionary explanations for why people tend to have these sorts of experiences. So in the, for example, the near-death experience, he seems to portray people's stories as being accurate when they say that they had this near-death experience. But then he goes into the brain science people, and he talks about the neurology of what's happening and tries to give a scientific explanation. So you could get the sense from that that he's debunking, that he's showing there's this alternative explanation for why people believe things. But I get the sense that he somehow, Morgan Freeman himself somehow believes that both the scientific evolutionary explanation is true and your personal experience is true, right? That's how it goes back to that weird idea he has that because God lives in our brain, then we are gods ourselves or something like that.
I remember watching the preview or the promo rather for the series when it first started. And part of the promo was to interview different people about God all over the world. So what is your view of God? And for sure, there's a lot of interesting answers out there. So just the idea of people watching the show being engaged with, well, are there answers out there to explain if God exists? How should Christian apologists respond to this series?
Yeah, there are a number of ways you could respond. One obvious approach is you could just watch the whole thing and debunk his particular errors and things and count up all the mistakes that he makes. I'm not sure how helpful that is. One question I have is whether anybody actually believes something because Morgan Freeman says it. In my article, I mentioned he's not Oprah in the sense that, Oprah has a lot of influence over people's beliefs, particularly their beliefs about spirituality and things. She's made an industry out of selling ideas about God and religion. I don't know that Freeman has that sort of influence, but this still is an interesting series to engage with from the point of view of seeing what kinds of ideas are out there, what the ways that people think about religion. I think it would be interesting if as an apologist you met with somebody who was caught up in this show and really enjoyed the show, you could ask, point out to them the ways that Freeman dodges the questions of whether any of these religious viewpoints is true or not. He doesn't even ask those questions. There's an episode on, it's called Proof for God. So you expect it's going to be a apologetics episode, right? There's going to be arguments for and against the existence of God, but that never comes up in this episode that's called Proof for God. He never asks that question. So I think we need to push back on those, his assumption that we can't really know the answer to any of these questions, and say, you're right that science only can tell us how these beliefs function in our brains or whatever. Like he's looking at the neuroscience, but that doesn't tell us anything about whether the beliefs themselves are true or false. Just because you can see an electrical signal in your brain when you're thinking about God doesn't tell you anything about whether God exists or not. So I think we need to push back on that sort of question and resituate the debate onto looking for the actual evidence for and against the existence of God. And also as well, I think one of the mistakes he makes, as I say, Freeman believes that we can't know whether God exists. And one of the reasons he gives for saying that is he says, well, look, there's lots of different ideas about God around the world and people have different religious experiences. And, we can't say whether any of them are true or false. And so that means that we just don't know whether God exists, and we all have our own subjective opinions about that. Well, I mean, that's another thing we need to push back on. A very common mistake that people make is saying, well, because people have disagreed about something for centuries, that means that there's no way to answer the question, that we can't know which way is true or not. And I think that's clearly false. Just because people disagree about something doesn't mean that there's no answer to that question. And so we need to really kind of stick to our guns and really make sure that people are held accountable to looking at the actual evidence, as opposed to just trying to wiggle out and say, well, there's no way to know the answer to these questions.
Well, thanks for helping us navigate one of these ubiquitous kind of history or National Geographic's ongoing series about the Bible or God and those kinds of things. It's very helpful. Well, finally, I want to end with some fun rapid fire questions for John. So it's summertime. Smoothie or frozen yogurt?
Frozen yogurt.
Call or text?
Text.
Introvert or extrovert?
Introvert.
And because it's summer, the beach or the pool?
The beach.
Well, thanks, John, for being a guest on the Postmodern Realities podcast.
Yep, thank you.
John has written a feature article about Morgan Freeman in the 2018 Volume 41, Number 3 issue of the Christian Research Journal, and his article is called The Story of Morgan Freeman, Not God. To read this article and to read more cultural apologetics articles like John's upcoming feature on the HBO series Westworld, please subscribe to The General. A 6-issue subscription is now at a new lower price of $33.50, and to subscribe, visit our website online, equip.org. We'd like to hear from you, so connect with us on social media, like the Bible Answer Man Facebook page, and follow CRI, Christian Research Journal, Hank Hanegraaff, and the Bible Answer Man on Twitter. Follow the Bible Answer Man on Instagram, and please subscribe to the Bible Answer Man channel on YouTube. If you like this episode, please subscribe to the Postmodern Realities podcast on iTunes. And when you rate and review our podcast, it helps others to find our content. So please share this episode on your social media accounts. Be sure you tune in daily to the Bible Answer Man broadcast hosted by CRI President Hank Hanegraaff, who answers your questions live on air. To ask Hank a question, call 888-ASK-HANK Monday through Friday at 6 p.m. Eastern Time. In addition, head to iTunes and subscribe to Hank Unplugged. It's Hank's new audio podcast. You'll follow Hank off the grid, where he has in-depth conversations with some of the brightest minds discussing topics you care about. So until our next Christian Research Journal author conversation, thanks for listening to the Postmodern Realities podcast.